tap your knuckles on the desk in front of you, or the steering wheel, or your phone screen.
Yeah, just give it a good solid tap.
Right. It feels completely unyielding. I mean, we just walk around all day with this deeply comforting assumption that the universe is made of stuff. Like tiny, hard building blocks stacked together in this very predictable, permanent way.
Which is, frankly, a very necessary biological illusion.
A biological illusion.
Yeah, because if you or I constantly perceived the actual quantum reality underneath that desk, you know, the chaotic boiling soup of probabilities where literally nothing is fixed, we just wouldn't be able to function.
I'd probably spill my coffee every morning.
Exactly. You wouldn't be able to pour a cup of coffee, let alone function in society.
But we have this stack of theoretical physics notes sitting in front of us today for our deep dive, and they basically prove that the solidity you just felt when you tapped your desk is, well, it's actually just a cosmic software compiler fixing an error.
It is wild. We're exploring a framework called conditional collapse theory, or CCT.
And the deeper you get into these sources, the more it completely rewires your fundamental understanding of what is actually happening when you interact with the physical world.
It's a profound departure from how we usually teach physics. I mean, standard quantum mechanics often describes a universe of passive particles just sort of bumping into each other in the dark.
Right, just rocks floating in space.
Yeah, but the CCT sources describe the universe as an active, continuous computational engine. Reality isn't something that just exists.
It has to be computed.
Exactly. Reality is something that has to be actively computed moment by moment.
Okay, let's unpack this, because to understand how wild this gets, we really need to look at how this theory redesigns the atom itself.
Right, the fundamental building block.
Yeah. So before we get into the main event, which is this completely mind-bending physical particle that acts as the hardware switch for reality, we have to talk about the system it runs on.
The notes call it a dual-stack architecture.
Yes. So, okay, stop thinking of an atom as a tiny solar system with a nucleus in the middle and electrons orbiting like planets.
Which is how everyone is taught in high school, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Throw that out. Instead, think of the atom as a dual processor computer system running two entirely different programming languages simultaneously.
Yeah. So first you have the electron. In this framework, the electron runs a lower-level language called .PASM.
.PASM.
Right, which stands for probability assembly.
And .PASM is, for lack of a better term, pure, unadulterated chaos.
Total chaos.
The sources emphasize that the electron doesn't actually have a fixed path or the solid physical location. It just natively executes this probability script.
It is constantly generating random outputs.
Yeah, exploring every single possible path it could take, all at the exact same time.
In physics terms, it's generating massive superpositions.
Yeah.
Or in information theory, we'd say it has extremely high entropy.
Just raw potential.
Right. It is the raw, unrestricted computational potential of the universe. But here's the problem. A universe made entirely of pure probability isn't a universe you can live in.
Because you can't build a desk out of maybe...
Exactly. You need a system to organize that chaos. You need a compiler.
And that is where the atomic nucleus comes in.
Correct. The nucleus is running the second language, which is .axel, or atomic core language.
.axel.
Yeah. The nucleus is massive compared to the electron. It's stationary. And its whole job is to act as a strict algorithmic constraint on the electron's chaos.
So, wait, let me try to map this out. Is it like a dog off a leash?
A dog off a leash?
Yeah, like the electron is just running everywhere in the park, and the nucleus is the owner holding the leash?
Not quite. The leash implies a physical tether restricting movement. This is more about editing information.
Okay, what about a writing room?
A writing room. Okay, go on.
Like, the electron is a wildly creative, slightly unhinged brainstorming session, just throwing out millions of random contradictory ideas all at once. That's the .PASM.
I like this.
But the nucleus is the ruthless editor. It takes all those millions of wild ideas and demands they form a single coherent sentence.
That is much closer, actually. The nucleus, the editor doesn't care about the electron's individual random outputs. It only cares about coherence.
Right.
The framework says the nucleus applies what mathematically is called a smooth loss function via gradient descent.
Hold on, gradient descent. I actually know that term from artificial intelligence.
Yeah, it's very common in machine learning.
Isn't that the mathematical process AI models use to train themselves? Like, they test a bunch of paths, find the one with the lowest error rate, and slide down that path.
Yeah.
Are you saying the nucleus is running an AI training loop to basically train the electron into becoming a physical object.
That is a brilliant way to conceptualize it, honestly.
Yeah.
The nucleus is actively deleting the errors.
Wow.
Any of the electron's probability waves that don't perfectly close on themselves, the paradoxes, the logical contradictions, they're subjected to destructive interference.
So they just get canceled out.
Exactly. The nucleus phase cancels them out. It forces that wild probability distribution to slide down the loss gradient until it reaches a stable minimum.
And the sources call that stable minimum an ODE limit cycle.
Yes. Ordinary differential equation limit cycle.
That's a mouthful.
It is. But just think of a system describing change. A limit cycle is a closed loop where the system repeats stably.
Like a groove on a vinyl record.
Perfect analogy. All the contradictory noise is stripped away until only that stable loop remains. And in physical terms, that limit cycle is what we call a stable atomic orbital.
Matter is simply compiled paradoxes.
I love that line.
That phrase from the notes just absolutely stopped me in my tracks. Like, yeah. You listening to this deep dive right now, your body is just the scar tissue of resolved mathematical paradoxes.
It's poetry, really.
It is.
Yeah.
But this leads to a massive missing piece for me, because I buy the editor analogy. The editor wants to write a coherent sentence.
Sure.
But an editor still needs a pen. What is the actual physical mechanism that forces the ink onto the page?
And that is exactly where standard quantum mechanics hits a brick wall. Oh, yeah. We know quantum states exist as fuzzy probabilities, and we know they eventually become solid realities. But standard physics famously lacks a physical mechanism for how or why that transition actually happens.
This just sort of happens like magic.
Right. But the CCT framework solves this by introducing a brand new entity, the chiron particle.
The chiron, symbolized by a really cool stylized K in the notes.
Yeah.
Now, in the standard model of physics, particles usually have a very obvious job. You have fermions like quarks and electrons, which are the bricks. You build stuff.
The matter particles, yeah.
Right. And you have bosons like photons or gluons, which are the mortar or the workers. They push and pull the bricks around using fundamental forces.
Exactly. But the chiron doesn't build a desk and it doesn't push a magnet.
So what does it do?
It operates on an entirely different layer of reality. The framework classifies it as the ontological gauge boson and the determinism controller.
Which sounds incredibly intimidating.
It does sound like a sci-fi weapon.
It really does. But I'm looking at its stats here and I have to admit I'm totally lost. It has spin zero. It has zero rest mass in a vacuum.
Right.
And crucially, it does not couple to mass or charge. So if this particle has no mass to bump into things and no electrical charge to repel or attract things, it shouldn't be able to interact with our universe at all. How is it doing literally anything?
Well, what's fascinating here is that you are still thinking of interactions purely in terms of pushing and pulling physical weight.
Right, like normal physics.
Yeah, but the chiron doesn't care about mass or charge. It acts as the clock signal of the universe. It couples specifically to semantic entropy.
Semantic entropy. Okay, what does that actually mean in a real-world setting?
Think of semantic entropy as a measure of undecidedness or fuzziness in a system's information.
Undecidedness.
Yeah. If a coin is lying flat on a table, heads up, its state is decided. The entropy is low.
Because we know exactly what it is.
Right. But if you spin that coin on the table, it is a blur. It's in a superposition of both heads and tails simultaneously. The information is undecided.
Okay, I can picture that.
So that spinning blur has high semantic entropy.
And the chiron is attracted to that indecision.
It reacts to it. The chiron acts as an entropy valve. It also possesses a +1 temporal charge, which means its fundamental function in physics is to explicitly enforce the forward arrow of time and causality.
So it's basically the universe's execute command.
That is exactly what it is. It's the physical manifestation of the execute command.
Okay, so let's get incredibly practical here because this is the absolute core of our deep dive today. I really want to know how this invisible particle controls determinism in simple terms. Like, how does it physically force reality to snap into existence out of a cloud of pure probability?
To understand that, you have to visualize the chiric field.
The chiric field.
Yeah. Just like a magnetic field surrounds a magnet, a chiric field permeates space. But its density varies wildly depending on where you are. Let's start in deep space.
Okay. Far away from any stars, planets, observers. Just a total vacuum.
Right. Out there, the chiric field is incredibly flat. Its density is near zero. So if you have an isolated electron floating out in that void, it can exist in a massive, sprawling superposition.
Because there's nothing telling it what to be.
Exactly. Because there are no charons around to interact with its semantic entropy, that electron isn't forced to choose a state. It remains a vast, fuzzy cloud of probability.
So out in the vacuum, time is highly symmetric and causality is very loose.
Yes. But the moment you bring that fuzzy probability cloud near a macroscopic object like a planet or a human or even just an atomic nucleus, the environment changes completely.
Because macroscopic mass continuously generates and broadcasts a dense field of these charons.
Exactly. Now picture what happens when that sprawling, fuzzy probability cloud drifts into this dense chiral field.
It's got to be a crash.
It is a mathematical collision. The chirons interact with the high semantic entropy of the probability cloud, and they instantly spike the loss function gradient we talked about earlier.
Okay, so going back to your spinning coin analogy, the spinning coin is our fuzzy superposition. It's full of rotational energy, full of indecision.
High semantic entropy.
Right. Now imagine the chiral field is a thick, viscous fluid that you suddenly pour over the table.
Oh, that's a great visual.
The coin simply cannot keep spinning in that fluid. The fluid physically drains the rotational energy away.
Yes. The chirons are the fluid. They surround the probability cloud and physically bleed off all that semantic entropy.
Just completely overwhelming it.
Right, dragging the quantum state down the gradient until the coin loses its momentum and slaps down flat onto the table. Heads or tails, that maybe is forcibly crushed into an is.
That is incredible. So the chiron particle really is the gavel striking the desk. Case closed. Probability is over. Welcome to physical reality.
It is the physical carrier of the transition from probability to determinism.
You know, this actually solves one of the biggest headaches in physics, doesn't it? The famous Schrödinger's cat paradox.
Oh, absolutely it does.
Because for those who don't know, that's where you have a cat in a box with a radioactive mechanism. And until you open the box, the cat is theoretically both alive and dead.
Right, in a state of superposition.
And standard physics has always sort of implied that the act of a conscious observer looking inside is what magically collapses the wave function.
Which is very frustrating for physicists.
Right. It always felt a bit mystical to me. Like, does a human really have to look at a tree to make it fall in the woods?
And this framework throws out that mysticism entirely. The CCT model introduces what it calls the chiron threshold.
The chiron threshold.
Yeah, it argues that decoherence, the collapse of the wave function, has absolutely nothing to do with human consciousness. It is purely mechanical.
No human required at all.
None at all. A rock generates a chiral field. A simple digital camera generates a chiral field.
So anything with mass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Collapse happens exactly when the local environment generates enough chirons to overwhelm the system's semantic entropy. Once that threshold is crossed, the state locks into determinism.
The chiron is just a physical valve turning mathematical potential into hard reality.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It really grounds the entire universe in such a strict architecture. You don't need magic. You just need enough chirons to force the compiler to run. But I want to pivot here, because here's where it gets really interesting.
It gets better.
Oh, yeah. Once you establish that determinism, the actual solidity of reality and the forward march of time is controlled by a measurable physical particle. Well, that implies it can be engineered.
Oh, absolutely. It implies it can be weaponized.
Yes. The framework moves from abstract theoretical physics straight into profound applications for temporal architecture and cybersecurity.
Which is huge. Because right now, standard digital security, the encryption keeping your bank account or your medical records safe, relies almost entirely on mathematical complexity.
Things like prime number factoring.
Right, which is inherently vulnerable. It's just a math problem.
And if an adversary builds a powerful enough quantum computer, they solve the math, break the encryption, and steal your data.
It's just a matter of time and processing power.
But the notes outline a concept called chiron security, which doesn't rely on math at all. It relies on the geometry of causality itself.
The geometry of causality.
Yeah. And to explain this, the sources tackled the ultimate sci-fi trope, the grandfather paradox.
Oh, the classic time travel thought experiment. You go back in time and you prevent your grandfather from meeting your grandmother.
Right.
But if you do that, you are never born. So how could you go back in time in the first place? It's a paradox.
And usually sci-fi solves this with branching timelines or weird abstract cosmic rules. But in the CCT framework, time travel isn't prevented by a rule. It is physically blocked by something called the chiron wall.
The chiron wall, because we have to remember what a paradox represents in this framework. massive semantic entropy.
Right, it's the ultimate undecided state.
Exactly. The universe hates logical contradictions. So if a localized timeline approaches a paradox, like an event attempting to alter its own past, the semantic entropy of that event spikes.
And because chirons are coupled to semantic entropy, the local chiric field density approaches infinity in response.
It just floods the area.
Right. The universe floods the zone with chirons trying to compile a coherent reality. But because the event is a paradox, it literally can't compile.
Exactly. The energy cost to create the contradiction becomes infinite.
This is impossible.
You simply do not have enough energy in the entire cosmos to push the universe into a paradoxical state. The chiric field acts as an unbreakable physical firewall.
The universe violently enforces its own self-consistency.
You literally bounce off the wall of causality.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But the notes say you can also play defense by going in the opposite direction. Instead of infinite chirons, what happens if you remove them?
Wait, remove them?
Yeah. The sources describe something called a probability safe room, or a chiron shield.
Okay, well, if the chiron is what forces reality to exist, removing them suspends reality. Imagine an advanced server vault lined with metamaterials designed to artificially drop the local chiric field down to absolute zero. You create a chiron vacuum.
In a vacuum, the loss gradient is completely flat. There is nothing forcing the coin to fall flat on the table.
Which means the data stored inside that server vault, say, a master AI directive or a crucial encryption key, literally does not exist in a deterministic state.
It's just floating.
It is suspended natively in dotPASM. It exists purely as quantum noise.
This is the ultimate cybersecurity defense. Let's say a hacker manages to physically break into this vault. They plug into the server. They try to steal the master key.
They can't.
They can't. Not because the password is too complex, but because the universe literally hasn't been forced to decide what the password is yet.
The data is just a cloud of maybe.
Exactly. That is the greatest excuse ever for forgetting your login, by the way. Sorry, my password is currently in a state of uncompiled potential.
I'm definitely going to use that. It is brilliant, though, because the attacker is trapped in the present tense, trying to hack a deterministic state that the defender hasn't even compiled yet.
So how do you read it?
The data only collapses into a readable, solid key when an authorized user walks in and introduces a highly localized, deliberate chiron pulse.
A chiron pulse.
Yeah. That pulse provides the execute command, the entropy drains, and the data snaps into reality just long enough to be read.
You're building walls out of time rather than walls out of math.
Exactly.
And that manipulation of time leads to one other wild phenomenon detailed here. The quantum Zeno effect.
Oh, this is something physicists have actually observed in labs.
Really?
Yeah. If you take an unstable, decaying quantum system and you measure it repeatedly and incredibly fast, it actually stops decaying. The system freezes.
Under standard physics, that's incredibly weird. Like measuring it stops it from changing.
Right. But under the CCT framework, it makes perfect logical sense through what they call chiron saturation.
Because every time you measure the system, your macroscopic measuring device is flooding the target with chirons.
Yes. You are continuously hitting it with the compiler's execute command.
It's like you're furiously mashing the refresh button on a web page before it has time to load the next frame.
That is exactly what it's like.
You are locking the reality so tightly to its current state, continuously draining any semantic entropy before it can build up, that the system's trajectory literally cannot evolve to the next time step.
You are freezing time locally by oversaturating the determinism field.
Freezing time. This is just, it connects every disparate mystery of quantum mechanics into one unified mechanism.
It really does.
The fuzziness of deep space, the solidity of macroscopic objects, the arrow of time, and the prevention of paradoxes. They are all just variables in a universal compiler.
Actively modulated by the density of the chiric field.
It fundamentally shifts the entire paradigm. The universe is not a museum of passive objects.
No, it's alive with computation.
The electron proposes the chaos. The nucleus demands the order. And the chiron particle is the physical mechanism, the ink on the page, the fluid stopping the spinning coin that executes the translation.
Turning probability into the deterministic reality that you, our listener, experience every single second of your life.
So go back to that desk we talked about at the beginning. The next time you tap your knuckles on a table or look down at the steering wheel in your hands, remember that it isn't just stuff.
It's far more complex than that.
It is a solved paradox. It is a highly active, ongoing computation, and it's only being held together right in front of you by the invisible, relentless rigidity of the chiral field.
The universe is constantly working, computing, and compiling, exhausting unfathomable amounts of energy just to keep that desk solid underneath your hand.
Which brings us to one final, deeply provocative thought hidden in the back of these sources.
The end game.
Yeah. We've talked about how advanced systems could manipulate the chiral field to build safe rooms or freeze time. But the notes hint at a theoretical endgame called the Prometheus Protocol.
The Prometheus Protocol.
A state where humanity doesn't just build a shielded room, but actually achieves root access to the chiral field itself.
Taking over the master compiler.
Yes. If we could locally dial down the determinism of our own environment at will, if we could just turn off the chiral field, could we rewrite the physical laws of our immediate surroundings?
That is a terrifying thought.
Could you take that incredibly solid desk, starve it of chirons, and watch it dissolve back into pure, uncompiled potential?
Decompiling reality itself.
Exactly. If everything physical is just a compiled paradox, what happens to reality when humanity gains the power to decompile it?
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Just a little something for you to mull over the next time you lean your weight against something solid. Until our next deep dive.